interest in singing. I love singing. I think it's a very vital part in worship, and trust that we can continue to have our hearts turned toward God. I'd like to share this morning in relation to the glorious church. Church is dear to my heart, and we like to start in the book of Jeremiah. We like to take a journey, first of all, with the prophet Jeremiah. When God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house, and we find this in Jeremiah chapter 18, we would like to take a visit there, the potter's house, and see what happened. The potter is interested in making vessels that can be used, that can be useful and serve a purpose. God created us, and we are the work of his hand. We have a verse in Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Reading from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as with this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Here we are. Just imagine with me and being there with Jeremiah. Down there at the potter's house. First of all, the word of the Lord came to him. He told him to arise and to go. The Lord had a message for him. He said, I will cause thee to hear my words. And here we have it this morning. We have God's word. God wants us to hear what he has to say. He responded. And as he came to this potter's house, the potter was making a vessel on the wheel. This is like a round surface, and this wheel could turn, and as the potter was working with the clay so that he could shape it. And this turntable was possibly round and round as this potter was trying to shape and to mold this lump into something that was useful. But what did he witness? There was something about what he saw there that he disregarded, that lump he was working with. So he started over and tried to do it again. This morning, we're serving a God in heaven. He's the master designer. He's the master plumber. He's the master potter. He's the master that is in control. And I think he's looking. He's looking into the hearts of you and I here this morning. God is over all, and he sees the big picture. Now, sometimes we just like to see a lot of more details, a lot more things that are going on that we just can't figure out. But God sees the big picture. And here we are. We're just as a lump of clay. God is over all, and he sees us. He understands. He knows that how frail we are and the limitations we have. The vessel of clay this morning is you and I. The vessel that we have, and what mars this vessel, is sin. And we have an enemy that would just, he's out to mar that vessel. This vessel that God would like to shape and to mold. He'd like to do something. He'd like to polish this clay in terms of making it a beautiful expression of truth, of light, so that we can be a light that can shine in this world and in the community where we are. In Isaiah 56, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There's a remedy for a marred vessel. God is offering a remedy to all. And you know, sometimes our vessels tend to get marred. They do. I experience that. Sometimes I find myself on the wheel. I find myself on that wheel where God is, he's working. He'd like to make me a better vessel. Are we resisting that work that God wants to do? I'm thankful this morning that God has the power to cast away that marred vessel and make it a better vessel, another vessel. He's the creator. And we understand in this setting the cry that and the burden that God was trying to convey to Jeremiah because of the condition that Israel was in. But we have a foundation this morning that stands sure. Like the few verses in 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." God is pleading. He's concerned that we're cleansed from iniquity. We're cleansed from sin. That our vessels are not marred. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he is a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." And that's the direction that we want to go this morning, that we can be a vessel in the hands of God, that we can be useful in his kingdom. Naming the name of Christ, being cleansed from iniquity, building our lives on something that is able to endure when tested by fire. The tests will come, my friends. There's no escape for the child of God. When God wants to take us through some refining experiences, the test is on. And all it is, he wants to make us better vessels, fit vessels for his kingdom. And how easy it is to just give up and to just think, what's the use? No. He's looking out for our eternal well-being. And to be a vessel unto honor, he wants to set us apart. We're washed. We're sanctified. We're justified. And this great house that he's talking about, I think we could consider the church. That God wants us to be a fit vessel, and that we can unite our goals and unite our usefulness within the kingdom of God, the church. In Romans 9, verse 20, the 23, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto his glory," prepared unto glory. We're under the mercy of God this morning. And we're individuals. And that's why we're here. It's because of the mercy of God. And you and I had no choice of our coming into this world. Not at all. Matters not who our parents have been. We had no choice in the matter. God is sovereign in that. But here we are this morning because we are in this world. And we're here because of the choices we made in life. God has an interest that we can be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a life. Sow a life, reap an eternity. Paul was a chosen vessel. He was a chosen vessel of God to preach to the Gentiles. He had a message that God had given him that he can preach and he can deliver to a needy people. And I think that message still reaches down for us today. So as I consider the potter, the clay, and how God continues to shape and to work and to mold us, that familiar song that probably many of us know, maybe all of us, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. I'm an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. In the mirror of his word, reflection that I see makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am. He helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. This morning, the glorious church and this design that God ordained. And it was in God's plan that the church is for the good of his people. Glorious. It's marked by great beauty and splendor. The word church is derived from two Greek word meaning to call out from. We have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We have been called from the old life into a new life. And it's beautiful that this very principle was laid out in the Old Testament. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. We have a verse in Psalm 74, verse 2. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. This Mount Zion, wherein thou shalt dwell. Wherein thou hast dwelt. And this morning, Jesus gave his life for what? For the church. For Zion. The visible body of believers. Christ, the church of Christ, is the body of true believers. And this morning, we could put this under the umbrella of the local church. There's even a larger expression that goes with the church. Sometimes we hear it as the universal body. But I like this morning as a part of being in God's family as the local body. And some of the experience of becoming a part of a local body. I'm blessed many times when there are those among us that desire instruction. They desire more understanding of the Bible and the doctrines and the teachings of Christ. We recently started an instruction class where we had 9 applicants. And to hear the testimony of what the Lord is doing in their lives. One of the things we like to hear when we interview is what drew them to understand what it means to be born again. And to what happened that they sensed their need or they acknowledged their need. And to give their life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And for all those that are part of the body, that we can continue to grow and we can bless the church by our lives, faithful lives. Christ is the head of the church. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. He wants to present the church, a glorious body. He also nourisheth and cherisheth it. The body of Christ. And as we look at our physical body, and even some of the things that we can learn in the scripture of how the members in the physical body and how they are there to support and they're there for each other. And it's harmony. There's a working together. I think that's how the body of Christ should be. We have the temple or building. In Ephesians 2, in all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. There's a plan, there's a work, there's a purpose for every one of us. No one is excluded. And it matters not what our background is. It could be Jews, all races, any country. After all, we're all Gentiles. When Paul preached, many of his preaching was to the Gentiles. But in Romans, it talks about to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. I think the message of salvation, the message of the gospel was taken to the Jews, but then to the uttermost parts of the earth, to the Gentiles. And that's where we fit in this morning. We're a part of that opportunity. God, the designer, not only of the foundation, but of the whole building. God designed this plan from the beginning. He's the master designer. But God has a plan that this thing continues. It's an ongoing work. And it's going to go on until time is no more. So the question this morning is, are you going to be a part of that? That plan until that ends. Until the end of life. Until the end of our journey in life. When God will take us. Christ loved the church. It's the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21 verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, full of seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Can we see this beautiful picture of someday this bride being united with the bridegroom, with Jesus? And that we today make preparations for that. But it's a choice of ours. Yes, it is. We have many directives in the scripture of the beauty of the church of Christ. Have a song, glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God. A church is cleansed, a church cleansed from sin, a church full of honor, splendor, and beauty. I was thinking of the song, glorious things of thee are spoken. Has a beautiful message. Nourish us and cherish us the church. How does Christ do this? It's an organization. Where the people within this organization find their direction from the head, from God. But then God has an order established where he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think another area where the church is nourished by is the seven ordinances that we teach. The ordinance of baptism. Thinking of those that applicants that desire to become a part of the church. And it's a result of what? It's a result of repentance, believing, confessing. It's a change of heart. It's a new birth. The Lord's Supper, communion time. It's one of the most blessed times that a church has, is communion. Reminding us what Christ was willing to do for our salvation. Feet washing, a lesson of serving each other in humility and love. The Christian salutation, the holy kiss, its observance is a pleasure when love is rich and full. It contributes to a settled peace of conscience, known only to such as walk in all the counsel of God. It's the devotional head covering. And I'm glad that this practice is maintained in our circles. And it's very important, because it has been disregarded by many. But we believe that this is part of the believers, of our sisters' expression in their order of headship. Anointing of oil, the blessing that flows, that follows when this ordinance is applied. It does not always mean that a person is going to be healed, but it's a part of surrender, commitment, and it brings peace. When someone calls for the elders of the church because of sickness. Marriage, this beautiful institution of God. Holy matrimony. It's not saying that everyone needs to be married, but God has an order for this institution to be carried out. We all have an important place to fill. There's a number of things that I have found in my notes. Ways we can bless the church. Number one, the church cannot rise higher than what the homes are. You might wonder, how does that connect with blessing the church? The homes that the church is made up of play a very important role so that the church can be blessed. I'd like to read it comes out of an article that was written by David Schrock. The title of that article was "The Quest for Spiritual Youth: A Godly Relationship Between Parents and Children is a Vehicle for Conveying Godly Example and Teaching to Them." God has given us a beautiful formula for the home, where love and respect are instilled in tender hearts, where pride is curbed and healthy self-worth with humility is cultivated, where obedience is idealized and rebellion is punished, where honesty and openness are emphasized and hypocrisy is despised, where forgiveness and reconciliation reign and conflict dwindles. If the relationship is weak, there is little chance for transmitting faith. Instead, youth will likely react to the convictions the parents embrace. You get the message, how important it is. Some of the groundwork that is laid in the hearts of our dear children that are sitting here this morning. And as it prepares them for future life, and as they give their lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and as parents being able to plant those good seeds into their hearts when they're young. Number two, love what Christ loves. After all, he gave himself for the church. If Christ loves the church, it is only reasonable that we respond and do the same, is it not? Be involved. Take interest in church activities. Many of our churches have our normal times of worship Sunday worship, Sunday evening, and at times our midweek services. But then there are other activities that blend in with church life. Be involved. Take interest in it. Number four, be willing to serve. Maybe it's teaching Sunday school classes or serve at a mission, teaching school. There's many ways that a life of service is expressed. Your faithfulness, number five, your faithfulness at home qualifies you for potential use in greater service. Faithfulness at home, faithfulness in the church, I think is very important. Before the step of service away from home takes place, your faithfulness as parents and as youth, I think, makes the difference if you're qualified for greater service. Number six, respect the leaders. Children will very quick pick up how we view authority figures. And that begins with us as parents. The saying, more is caught than taught. In church life, things will come up. There are times when decisions are made. I remember it was just from one of my brothers talking about it. There was one time when something came up in church, and there was a decision made. And he was a bit disappointed. He talked to my dad about it. My dad was the deacon in the church. He talked to him, and he was a bit unhappy about the decision that the church made. Dad told him, this is just how it is. He did not make many words. Brought to silence. My brother really didn't have anything to say. We plant something into the lives of our children that will go with them. Yes, it will. And that's how my dad was many times. When there were times there was no reason, there was really no need to take it any farther. And we understood that. And it worked out for the good. Respect the leaders. After all, they are called of God. Serve each other, number seven. It's the gift of helps. Being there, you can see when someone has a need. And there's just taking time. Go visit or lift. And the next one, I think, goes together with this. To give when you serve each other, to give support, encouragement. When some have low times or discouragement. And granted, that happens. That happens in church life. When there are those that have their hands are hanging down and they need someone to lift up those hands. They need encouragement. Maybe they're going through a struggle. Maybe something did come up in church that is causing a struggle and where you can bless and encourage. Be there. In church life, you know, many times we have visitors, and I see there's many visitors here this morning. And we are too. Thank you for the welcome we receive. Make visitors feel welcome. Make them comfortable. And I can say we have experienced that this week. It's a real encouragement when you feel that warmth. Number 10, respect the church discipline or brotherhood agreements. Those things play a vital expression of our Christian character. And the devil is trying hard to destroy the church. I couldn't help this morning to ponder upon some of my experience in church life. And in some ways, it's not easy for me to share some of that. But I think back of the time when there was some conflict going on in the church. Not everyone saw things alike. And the church went through a process and through an experience that really put us to the test. I remember, even on a Sunday morning, when a committee came to our house to talk about something. But I purposed that I'm not going to let these things get me down. I was tempted to a point where they easily could have. And yes, there was a battle. I can say that. But as time went on, and as things were weighed out, and we just continued to let the Lord direct our lives, one of the things that I remember, I think it was at a funeral, and one of these members, committee members, was there. And walking through, I could put my hand on his shoulder. I had nothing that I could tell or sense of resentment, unforgiveness. Dear friends, forgiveness is an ingredient that if we fail to know how to apply it, it's going to go with us. It just will. Time went on. We lived in that community for probably close to 10 years after that. Seemed like there were kept things coming up at times, and we weren't always sure what we should do. But it seemed the Lord opened up doors. Where we relocated. But those people and the congregation where we were, I have no feelings of regret. I can go back there. My friends are friends. Those people are our friends. There's a right way to leave a church. We need to weigh those things out. And I can testify to that. If things are not properly thought through, properly evaluated, and your relationship with the ministry and others involved within the congregation, it's going to go with you. And I say there is a right way that you can evaluate things and keep a relationship open with those whom you are with. God has a way to bless his people. And that's the part I like to emphasize this morning. to be under the blessing and under the umbrella of his work. And as you continue in your life, that there's no baggage that you're carrying along. But those things were taken care of back there. And that the Lord can continue to bless your life. And I don't have to share with you this morning some of the heartaches that some have experienced, disappointments in their lives, maybe in their family, or even in church life. I really don't think it's necessary for me to talk about a lot of that. You know where you understand. If we want the blessing of God to flow within our being, we're going to need to understand some of the principles of relationship. The principle of unity. The principle of members within the body of Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. When I consider how God works at times, I think another thing that happens when there's a shift and a move from one congregation to the next. Granted, I believe that a ministry has the right to investigate, because they like to know maybe some things that they should know and they don't know. Think of one of our own experiences of a family that came from another community just recently. And they have a good heart, a sincere heart. And that's one of the things we did, is we made a phone call to investigate and to try to learn about maybe some things that we should know about. And it all resulted in a good outcome. And then even one of the things with that was of one of the children that went through baptism, and they felt she wasn't prepared and she wasn't baptized, and we evaluated that, and now she's a part of our instruction class, and so there were some things that we had to consider, we had to look at, evaluate. But I see something happening that I think is that can build a trust from where they came from and where they are now. So don't be surprised, my brethren and sisters, if those shifts that happen, and I think those investigations can be for the good of everyone involved. I'd just like to bless you this morning. Have a heart. Have a heart, a sincere heart, in being able to know how to properly evaluate our path, our steps in life, our steps in church life. It's so important. Freedom. Our theme for this week. After all, it was freedom, wasn't it? You all want to feel that freedom in your experience, don't you? I do. I do. And I'm glad that the Lord can work that out. And I can testify to that. Many times in our council meeting, we like to hear expressions from all the members of a testimony of having peace with God. First of all, our peace with God is of utmost importance. Peace with the brotherhood. Peace with our fellow man, as far as we know. Our desire for communion. Our desire to uphold the standard of the church. That's part of the package that comes with being a part of the brotherhood, that helps us to unite, helps us to blend, helps us to unite, helps us to be identified, that the church can be presented glorious to God. I'm glad I'm a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad this morning that we have many here who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you. And may our life continue to be an expression. We have here no continuing city. We seek one to come whose builder and maker is God. And that someday we can be counted worthy to be partakers of the glory that is yet to be revealed. Praise God for that plan. I'd like to close with the verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'd like to sing our song, our theme song, Freedom. After all, that was our theme this week. And we'd like to sing that at this time before we have prayer.